Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're live here in Seattle, Washington. Sunny, cool day in December. So my work is about helping people tap their own innate intuitive and healing abilities. And to do that, I talk about things that I do in my work. I have interesting guests with books, with all kinds of things going on. But today I have a really special guest I'd like to share with you. And we're talking about travel, but not just travel. We're talking about taking charge of our lives, where we're going on our spiritual journeys. And we'll get to that in a moment. But first, as we do each week, I'd like to start the show by helping you get grounded and balanced in the space with us with a crystal Fallon. Fallon is a citrine Lemurian quartz, and you can experience him during the show based on how your intuition works. So you could see pictures, feel him chat with you, feel his energy, or simply know that you're connected to it. But this is a way that we can all be connected, whether you're listening live or in the archives, an opportunity for you to take time out of your day to explore where you're going in the world and how you're going to get there. So take a deep breath, breathe in from starting at the top of your head. Imagine you're connecting mind, body, and spirit together. And as you breathe down from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, just feel the cares of the day washing away and feeling yourself getting grounded and balanced in this space with us. So breathing down from the top of your head, down your face, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet. The top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Just take a deep breath, feel nice and grounded, and now as you breathe up, you can invite that healing energy in. The more energy you take in, the better your intuition works. Breathing up from your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, your face, and the top of your head. So I'm an intuitive and spiritual consultant and certified past life regression specialist, and that's not the only thing I do, right? We're all out there doing stuff, having fun, enjoying our lives, taking charge. This morning on Facebook, we were talking about taking a chance on ourselves, believing that we can do something. And I hope you're as inspired today by my guest as I was when I ran across her in October. My special guest today is Rebecca Gamier, and I ran across Rebecca at the Daily Beast in October, an article that she wrote for the Daily Beast called What My Year of Solo Travel at 64 Taught Me. And it was a fun article. We're going to talk about it today. But Rebecca is a blogger and a writer, and she's writing a memoir called Chasing Light. And really, you know, what we're talking about is taking charge of our lives here. And it's interesting because Rebecca decided that she wanted to explore, and she bought an RV and set out, as she said, to see the United States accompanied by two dogs and not enough books. But as I read about her and read her article and thought about it, it's like, She's teaching us about resilience, about adventure, about practical spirituality, about really living life full out. And the interesting thing is, Rebecca, as a woman, set out and did this on her own, right? And I find it really interesting. Several years ago, I was interviewed by a local magazine because they were so astonished that a woman would travel by herself. And I love to do that. I mean, it's a great way to meet people. And I remember being in London and sitting in Kensington Park for a couple hours one sunny afternoon, and people would just wander by and they'd go like, "Who are you? What are you doing here by yourself?" And you'd have the most amazing conversations. You would really find out about what people in different parts of the world are doing. And we're finding out that they're just a lot like us. So let's talk about that, about spiritual journeys, about physical journeys, and welcome my special guest, Rebecca Gamier. Rebecca, hi, thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Robin. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm really
Yeah,
excited.
I'm thrilled for you to be here, and I know Rebecca lives back in the southeast United States where they've been snowed under
Oh my
in the
gosh.
last day. So enough of an adventure right at home, right, Rebecca?
Seriously,
No
seriously.
kidding. So tell people a little bit about yourself. Let's just get them grounded with who you are and what you're up to.
Well, right now I am living in the mountains of North Carolina. I've been here for about 15 years. I worked for a number of years for our county's Domestic Violence Rape Crisis Center. I was here for
Oh,
7 years.
wow.
And before that, for 14 years, I served as an ordained Lutheran pastor. And I took, it was right after my mom died. My dad died, and then my mom died. And being
Right.
orphaned at the age of 63 is just an odd transition. I took some time
At
off
what
to do
age?
some.
63?
I was 63 when my, yeah. So
Wow,
my
okay.
parents, lived a long, beautiful life, each
You're
of them.
lucky.
And I'm really fortunate, really fortunate. And those last years were hard, watching the slow slide.
Exactly. I was there too,
So,
right.
yeah, so many of us in our age group now are accompanying our older parents, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. And also it was hard. And so
True, right.
just taking some time after my mom died and did some overseas travel, visited some friends. And wanted to really devote full time to my writing. I told myself I literally would buy myself 3 years to took out of savings and to get myself established with my writing career. And so was able to do that, to get some publications and to do some travel. And so it had
That's
come
awesome.
around to, yeah, I'm very fortunate I was able to do that. And so the shift, I think, came, I've been a restless soul pretty much as long as I can remember, and traveled a lot with my parents early on. So
Right.
the summer came around again, and I got that itch to take another trip. But it was also during the it was 2016, and it seemed I was having the feeling that I didn't even know my own country. Do you know what I'm saying? It's
Exactly,
like
right.
the political scene was fraught
There's a
with a
huge
lot of
upheaval for everyone here.
conflict. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll do a trip around my own country, places I haven't been. I've flown across the country, but I'd never been to the Southwest, and
It's a big place.
it's a really big place. So that I knew I was going to make a big trip, and I didn't know it was going to be this big.
Right. It's like, okay, I'll
But
drive to Florida from North Carolina. Nope,
yeah,
not enough.
well, I think it was literally one of those things where I woke up in the morning It was in July, and I woke up, you know, your eyes fly open, and I thought, I'm going to make a journey.
Right.
And I've really sort of always wanted, I've been charmed by little caravans and small vehicles where you can live in them and travel. That just lights my fire. And so I've long been thinking about that anyway, but I didn't know at the time that I was just going to follow this thread and rent my house to friends for a year and buy an RV and just take off. But I kind of moved forward knowing that whatever the next step I took was going to be the right one, if that makes sense.
Right. And that's, I think, one of the things that will.
Yeah.
Exactly. That appeal to listeners, you know, the shows here at Ohm Times appeal to people who are seeking. And you're seeking, you know, you were looking for something there.
Yeah.
And I think what inspired me about your article was you were also very precise about it. I mean, you didn't just decide I'm going to get an RV and go and leave the next day. You were very practical about it. And that's what I find a lot of people who are searching spiritually are thinking, well, everything's just going to be taken care of automatically.
Yeah. And
no, you're not like that. I mean, you had a goal and you had a method of looking for it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, because I scared myself a little with this, when I started saying out loud, I'm going to take off for, you know, 9 months or a year, and I'm going to buy an RV and I'm going to take my dogs and do it. And that scared me a little.
Right.
So I really thought it was important to do my homework and to know what I was doing, you know, to not get out there on the road and have no idea about
there's a practicality. You didn't.
Yeah.
You'd never had an RV before, so you had to know how to take care of it, right?
Yeah,
you're on
yeah.
the road with your animals, so you need to, you know, that's one of the things that impressed me, Rebecca, and it just, you know, address that briefly, is that we may be seeking, we may be, you know, the modern version of, you know, the loopy Don Quixote, but we're looking for something, but that doesn't mean you can't plan it out and make it make sense so that the journey isn't one of mistakes that you could have figured out before you left, that you can actually devote yourself to learning while you're on the journey.
Right, right. And I, you know, early on, I gave the journey the name of Chasing Light because I knew I wanted to write about it, but I also felt like I wanted to set an intention. I just felt like I'd been in some dark places. You know, my years, especially working at the Domestic Violence Rape Crisis Center, that was hard, sad work. And I felt along the way, just for many years, that I bit by bit been more and more depleted and had really, I'd lost my faith. Lost hope, you know, I'd lost my own light, and I felt like I needed to also hold myself accountable. It was a big commitment I was making, and I wanted to hold myself accountable. And honestly, the one question that stopped me there, I had lots of questions, many, many people completely supportive and saying, I want to do that someday. And I remember one friend saying, I hope you find what you're looking for. And I know that was a good wish. And it also struck a little bit of fear in my heart. I thought, what if I make this whole journey and I don't find what I'm looking for? And by the way, what am I looking for?
That's a good question. Yeah. What are you looking for?
And I just had to trust that the journey would give it to me.
That's a big leap right there, right? Because we live in a culture where we're supposed to know everything before we take a moment to explore it.
Yeah.
We kind of have to have everything planned out.
Right, right. And I mean, I can be, you know, when I traveled internationally by myself, I mean, I was down to, I had it written down. I had many fail-safe plans because I was really worried about getting lost or being stranded or, you know, all of those possibilities. So I wanted to really be clear about my scheduling. But this time, I loved the freedom, and really it harkened me back to when I was a kid and I would toss a sandwich in my little knapsack and call my dog and we'd go out tromping in the fields. And in my mind, I would be wandering far.
Right. I did the same thing. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was really that sort of sensation.
Yeah. Hang on. We'll be right back after the break.
Okay.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos. A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and my special guest today is Rebecca Gamier. Rebecca set out in 2016 to travel the U.S. with her two dogs and an RV, but she was looking for some other things, too. Rebecca is a writer, a traveler, a blogger, and I love it. She calls herself a professional wanderer. I love that, Rebecca. So I'm happy to welcome Rebecca back. And I also want to say that the show is open for people who want to call in and chat with Rebecca today. And on days when I don't have guests, I take intuitive calls. But today, if you'd like to call in and chat with Rebecca, please do so. The number is 202-570-7057. But Rebecca, last night, just by coincidence, I was at a birthday dinner for a friend and had a landmark birthday. And she's like, everybody come and tell me what's on your bucket list. What do you want to do? What do you want to go? Or what do you want to? What kind of activity are you interested in? Or do you want to go somewhere? So it actually made me stop and think because I hadn't really thought about it as, you know, what would I do next or that sort of idea, and yet you set out to do it. And I love in your article, your first point as your so-called 10-item guide was, I can do it. And then quoting John Steinbeck saying, you don't take a journey takes you.
Right.
And that's
right.
Kind of what you did, right?
I did.
Yep.
And I was excited just to see places I hadn't seen. But the other thing was that I knew I was going to visit, there were some touch points. I needed to go some places where I'd been before with family members or places that, you know, held memories and sort of release them. Because I knew
that was like
some kind of
transition. Saying goodbye to your parents.
Yeah, saying goodbye to that, to a certain period of my life too. I think being a baby boomer in my 60s, I don't know about other baby boomers, but for me, all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm in my 60s. That sort of changes my outlook. You realize that, you know, you're not around forever. And so the idea of thinking about aging in the next stage of my life. So I did know this was a kind of transition. I just sort of blindly walked into it, but knew it was like getting, you know, on a raft on a stream or in the vehicle and going with the flow. So I was very excited to go places, and release, but also to see places I'd never seen. And,
well, what were some of those places?
Yeah, well,
that you'd never seen.
I knew I wanted to go to Marfa, Texas. That is.
And what is there?
It's a really little town in the middle of nowhere, and what's there is an art installation by a New York artist who fell in love with the landscape and the lighting and spent several years doing sculpture installations, and now it's become a sort of art mecca. So there.
Oh, I think I've heard of that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There. If you want to know more about it, anybody listening, if you go to NPR, and or you can Google too, but NPR had a story about Marfa, and that's where I heard of it. And just in listening to it, the main thing I thought, because I'm really not an art buff, I like art, but I probably wouldn't drive there to see the art installation. I went for the light.
Right.
The lighting there apparently is so amazing that artists from all over come. And the clouds, I mean, it's at 5,000 feet. The high desert is amazing because you don't know, because it's pretty flat, but you just keep climbing up and up and up.
Right.
So that the clouds kind of sit down low, and in the distance there are mountains, and I mean it's just it felt like another planet. It's really extraordinary, and I love it.
Beautiful. Yeah, those are interesting things. Last night somebody put up on screen a place in Finland where you can go, and they're igloos that are glass and they're lit up, right? So they show a picture of them at night lit up. But you can lie in bed and just wait for the aurora borealis, right? Awesome.
How wonderful would that be?
Look, yeah, it's just like the whole place is glass. I mean, obviously you're not going to, you know, do anything in there besides look.
Right.
Just, oh my God, you're talking about light. You reminded me of that. It's just, the world is really extraordinary. And I think we limit ourselves by sticking in one place. I mean, I know that for hundreds of years, people never got more than a few miles beyond their little villages. But I think that's what we're missing now in the world, is that connection that we can make on Google, Facebook, the radio show. You've got people coming in from all over the world. When was that ever possible before?
Right.
And so how do we bring that together?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you went to Marfa. What was your favorite place that you went to? Can you pick one?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to pick one. I liked Mount Shasta a lot. That's in Northern California.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because that mountain is something else. And I went there in May, and I saw it from 150 miles away because it was still covered with snow, and it was like this gleaming
pearl
out in the distance. It was amazing.
I live at the beach in Seattle, and on a clear day, you can see Mount Rainier over 200 miles away.
Yeah, that's remarkable to me. And I've not lived in the West at all, and so it was easy for me to forget that we have live volcanoes and active volcanoes, and that whole
we certainly
system.
Do.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. whole system. I mean, Mount Shasta has fumaroles that release steam, and mm-hmm. and what was there that I really loved too, the headwaters of the Sacramento River. So you can go and drink from the springs where this ice cold water that it's when I was there, I just stood there and I thought, so this is snow that fell when I was 14 years old and traveled down through the lava tubes, and it, you know, is just now bubbling up. It was kind of a mind blower.
Right. Yeah. So it's a real respect for nature.
Oh gosh. I saw remarkable things. I liked Bozeman, Montana too. I'd never been to Montana, and
Bozeman's cool. Did you get to Yellowstone?
I did not, and I'll tell you.
Oh my God!
I'll tell you why,
Rebecca?
I'll tell you why?
Heresy.
well, there were
it's like my one of my favorite places in the world. You are coming out to the West, girlfriend, and we're going to Yellowstone.
It's on my list to come back. There were limitations in traveling with my dogs.
Absolutely. And I was just going to say, it's not a safe place to go with dogs.
They aren't permitted. The same thing with Glacier. And I didn't know that. There were some other places that I couldn't take them. And so that was.
Well, you could take them to Yellowstone. You just can't take them really for a walk anywhere.
Right.
And that's not good when you had big dogs.
Yeah. Well, and it was also the time of triple-digit heat wave.
My dog was
older. So, you know, it was mm-hmm. my commitment to them. They kind of came first. So
go places where they could go.
Yeah. And it was fun kind of to make a list of I want to come back here. Bisbee, Arizona is the coolest town. Right down
what was the name?
Border. It's Bisbee.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Actually, there was just remember some filmmakers that just made a film about it. That's getting some buzz. So I would love to go back to Bisbee. I'd love to go back and see Glacier, see Yellowstone, and do those more. In a way, there were sightseeing touristy things that I didn't do a little bit on purpose because I was being a little contemplative and
you're on
things.
A quest but
I drove out I did see the Yellowstone River and I drove out into Paradise Valley, which is just so beautiful, and just found a quiet spot and sat by the river with the dogs and
that whole area is amazing.
It really is, and brand new to me. So that discovery, just renewed.
Right, right.
And then toward the end of my trip, I ended my last quote unquote light related stop was. For the eclipse, the total solar eclipse.
Oh, right.
I had made sure that I had reservations to camp in the middle of a field with a bunch of other people in
that's cool.
Kentucky. Oh, it was amazing. And I'd never seen a total eclipse before. And And doing that in a group was so fantastic. I mean, there was cheering, there was crying, there was laughing.
Right.
It was so different than if I'd stood outside somewhere and watched it by myself.
Well, that's amazing to share a natural event like that with other people. For some reason, I was out of the loop on that, but it actually went over, started in Lincoln City, Oregon, where I grew up going to the beach all the time, and right over my hometown in Oregon, where I grew up. And we noticed it was obviously apparent here in Seattle, but not a total eclipse like you would experience with a group. But that's the kind of thing that draws people together. So here's a question for you as you're exploring this. You're going, I became an orphan. My parents died 10 months apart, but it was in 94, 95. Years and years ago. And you do, as you said earlier, you suddenly wake up and you go, oh, I'm an orphan now. Mm-hmm. And it is a different experience. It's right. It's shocking, right? And it's it makes you think. It makes you, if you're contemplative at all, it's like, right. Now what? Where do I go from here? What does that mean? And I think now, as I don't think anybody can really deny it anymore, the culture that we've created in the last 100 years of being more connected is actually becoming disconnected. We're separating out into little pieces again. And as a wanderer, as a professional wanderer, what do you think about that? You're traveling, you're being contemplative, you're writing this spiritual autobiography, as if you will. What do you think about how we connect with people, how we bring people together, how we chase our light?
I think there's this illusion of connection through social media. So it's one kind of connection, but I think that connection and intimacy and closeness are different things.
Right.
And I do think that we live in times of a lot of loneliness and isolation.
I agree.
I actually just started a part-time job with what's called a food hub here, where it's an organization that acts as a sort of clearinghouse for local farmers and farmers markets, for online shopping and then coming to pick up at that location. And part of the reason I wanted to work with this group is because I'm noticing in our small town, and you have a small town, it's a little bit of a working laboratory. You can see.
Yeah, I grew up in a small town.
When it's small enough. And so what's happening here is that there's community being formed around food production, around restaurants, around eating, around providing for people who are food insecure, and having that be a priority for what we're about in this town. And so I'm interested as a wanderer and noticing where community forms. And it seems to form around creativity and art and people on similar journeys. Like I met travelers who were also on their own quixotic quest.
Right.
And our searching was different. What we were looking for was different. But the fact, you said earlier, we're all seeking. The fact that we were on that journey and putting one foot in front of the other made us friends pretty quickly.
Right. Connection. There's something there in the shared experience.
Yeah. And connection that has to do with those deeper questions about, I think, the human experience, if that makes sense.
It does make sense.
And I think any question we have about the human experience is really a spiritual question. So it's the deeper stuff that we're looking for.
Exactly. And how are people going to find that these days? So I know one of the questions that my audience would have for you, Rebecca, is, okay, you took your dogs, not enough books, as you said, in your RV, and you met new people every couple days or so, traveling around the country. What would you say to people about searching for themselves? Oh, we got a break. Hang on. We'll be back after the break. It gives you a minute to think about that.
Okay.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and my special guest today is Rebecca Gamir. Rebecca and I have been chatting about her solo travel around the United States. Well, not really solo, because you had your two dogs with you. That counts, right?
Exactly.
There you go, in an RV. And we're talking about, you know, how does that speak to people? What do you say to people about how to explore themselves?
So I think that when there are these urges or nudges or this restlessness, that we need to pay attention to that.
I agree.
And listen, and I think I say two small steps can lead to bigger steps. So maybe begin to explore in an area that you feel drawn. And see if the way opens, and if it does follow, and if it seems blocked, then wait, because I think our inner life, our soul, is an insistent thing, and if it will keep, it will keep speaking to us. And you know, I was thinking a little bit more about the John Steinbeck quote that we don't take a journey,
right.
A journey takes us.
Right.
And I also think I think a journey chooses us too.
It's possible.
And it doesn't have to be a physical journey. Mine was ostensibly, but the real journey took place inside. The real journey of finding my way back home in the new sense of that word for me, what that would mean.
Right.
Was not
as an orphan, as an orphan in the world now.
Yeah, and it wasn't necessarily a journey in miles, it was both. As the road kind of unfurled, so did the story inside.
Right.
So I say listen and wait and start, take a step. If it's not the right step, you'll know pretty quickly. And
explore the world around you, right, in your own neighborhood or your own city where you are.
Yeah, yeah. I came home to look at my backyard in a completely different way. It is new to me. I've lived here for 12 years. It's brand new to me. Every day I step out on the porch and just say, wow, that tree, I didn't know.
Right.
So,
you know,
yeah.
I appreciate that. I live on the edge of Puget Sound, 200 feet from the ocean. And I have a dog, so every day we're out 5 times a day walking. And one of the things I appreciate about where I live is that it's changing all the time. It's like I don't feel in many ways that I need to leave and go to a different place to, you know, see a different sight, because it's different every single day. The clouds, the water, what mountain range you can see. But again, I mean, you could do this amazing trip like you did with your animals. You can walk out your door and see a tree or the ocean and recognize how it's different in that moment. The light on it, the time of year, or just your reaction to it, right?
Right.
So, and how does that tie into you? How are you doing your book now, Chasing Light? How is that how is your trip informing that? I mean, it's really the story of your journey, right? But there's more. There's a deeper level to it.
Right. So I took good notes along the way, and I did keep a travel blog. And that's helping me remember those side trips my mind took, which were an important part of the journey. I've got a first draft of it done, so right now I'm revising.
Okay.
But
and letting it sit a little bit. Yep.
Yes. And letting that, going back and reading my notes. Gosh, those were 2016, 2017 notes, and in many ways that was a different me on that trip before I rounded the bend in Washington State and came
so
back.
So what do you think is different about you now that would resonate with our listeners?
I reclaimed my joy.
Oh, awesome.
I didn't know that I had let so much of my own joy and playfulness and just curiosity atrophy. I think I had just pulled into myself and sort of tended the home fires and the small crises that were happening.
Well, you had a very demanding job that's very draining. You're dealing with crises all the time.
Right.
Then losing your parents, that's a time-consuming and draining process.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, I think that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, so I initially set out thinking I'd lost my faith. I was I was looking for God, looking for spirit. And I found out really I'd lost myself and lost my own light. And so along the way, the beauty of the landscape and the wonderful people that I met and the lovely people who followed me, who joined the subscribed to the blog, but sent me notes of encouragement and support and just, you know, love notes. It was a beautiful thing. And so to be able to come back home to myself in a way I didn't know that I needed to, it was a wonderful journey.
That's pretty profound, really, because, you know, we get so busy in our daily lives that we don't stop to think about where we really are in our lives.
Right. I think I didn't know I was so numb to just being alive in the world.
Right.
And I had to go out, maybe a little bit like I did as a kid. And I had to go out and find it. Go be in the middle. Stand in the redwood forest and look at those trees and weep. I mean, just weep.
Exactly. Right.
They were just magnificent, and I had no idea. I'd never seen a tree that magnificent.
Yeah.
And then a whole forest of them, and I was reduced to tears. And
and
that's glad a connection. Of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real connection there. Did you manage to meet the ancient sequoias down near Yosemite?
I was at Humboldt Woods. I didn't get down to Yosemite.
Okay.
I was at Humboldt Woods and stayed at the state park there and drove along the Avenue of the Giants. And
right. So you saw a lot.
So
here's one question for you. And we're getting close to the end of our hour, but one of the things now that I noticed as I was reading your article last October was you had these wonderful 10-item guides for people. But one of the things, you know, I'm out there teaching people how to use their intuition, how to know that, you know, intuition, healing abilities, they aren't gifts. They're part of us. They're part of what happens when you take a body, when your soul takes a body. So I was struck by one of your points. You said, it's okay to trust my instincts. And I was like, she's talking about her intuition. She's talking about paying attention, right? And that part of your goal was to reclaim your sense of safety in the world.
Yes.
And so I want to hold you up to our listeners as an example of someone who, you know, you don't have to worry about the words. You're someone who stepped into it, and you could look at that and go, okay, if I don't feel good here, I'm not going to ask myself why I don't feel good here. I'm just going to leave because I need to be safe.
Right.
And that's a fundamental thing that we've cut ourselves off from. We have, a series of great guests on my show, and they're trying to, you know, quantify intuition and spirituality with science. And I'm like, you know, like, is it okay for them to be separate? Because they've always been separate. Let's just talk about the practicalities that you are using your intuition every day. But here you actually made a point of saying, hey, trust your instincts. They're good.
Right.
So just address that a little bit, because I try to tell people, yes, it's okay. It's okay. You know, it's like if you don't feel good about walking down that alley at night, for goodness sake, don't do it.
Yeah, I think that I think you're right. We've been cut off from that, or it doesn't seem logical, or whatever side of the brain that one should be operating out of. I don't know. It took me a number of years to learn it. I had to learn the hard way. But to know that after the fact to say, darn it, I knew that wasn't the right thing to do. Why didn't I trust my gut?
Right.
Why didn't I just trust my own inner wisdom? So I finally learned, and in pretty much any situation, if I get that sense, you know, my gut says, then I don't.
Exactly.
And I don't have anybody to apologize.
I was just going to say, apologize for it. It is not negotiable. You just do what you need to do. Yeah. So, Rebecca, your story is inspiring. Tell people about how to find you, how to sign up for your blog, and how to keep in touch with Rebecca Gamir.
I would love for people to do that. And I hope I've made it as simple as possible. If you go to RebeccaGamir.com, and it's RebeccaGamir.com. That's my website, and you can find pretty much at the top, it'll say Chasing Light Blog. There's also some information if you want to know more about me and where I come from, et cetera, but you can subscribe pretty easily to the blog. I tend to update right now about once a month. I like to tell people that so that they don't feel like their inbox would be swamped, you know, every week with new material. About once a month is about how often I'm updating at this point.
So you can go there. You can sign up for her newsletter. Now, is a link to the Daily Beast article on there?
It is, yeah.
Okay, because I want to end with one thing, Rebecca. First, how thrilled I was to go, find this amazing article and this very vivid personality just leaping out online there at the Daily Beast. So I love that. And I love that I just emailed you out of the blue and said, can you please come on my radio show? And you're like, sure, I'm up for an adventure.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I want people to leave with is you can do it. You can do whatever you want to do. You know, it's like, take a chance on yourself. And the last thing that you said, the last point in your article, slowing down is a gift you can give yourself.
Yes.
And that is really so important. And it's like, sometimes we feel like we're too slow, that we're not getting enough done during the day, and we're just pulled all different directions. But slowing down, what are you going to say to that, Rebecca, quickly? Slowing down is going to give you insight, right?
We're so product-oriented, and this is more process. Enjoy the journey. Slow down.
Right.
Look at the poppies. Look at the whales. See the redwoods. And don't rush through your life.
That's right. It'll end soon enough and fill it up with really great things. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, find Rebecca at her website, Rebecca Gamir, G-U-M-M-E-R-E. Thanks for joining us today. Take care.
Thank you, Robin. Thanks
and
so
avoid the next Snowmageddon, okay, there in North Carolina.
Batten
down the hatches, girlfriend. So thanks for joining me. And I want to thank everyone for joining us today. It's such a delight to me to run across amazing people that I can share here with the community. Next week, I'm going to be talking about what soul progression clearing is and some insights I've learned about how we can pick ourselves up and move forward in our lives by clearing out the interior clutter, so to speak. A little bit about what we were talking about today. Slowing down, taking time for yourself, taking a chance on yourself, valuing yourself for who you are. So join us next week. And then we're off here for the rest of the year, picking up brand new after the first of the year. But also, you can find me at my website, robinfritz.com. That's RobynFritz.com. I offer personal and business intuition, mediumship, talking to your deceased human and animal beloveds, space clearing, past life regression, soul regression, soul progression clearing, energy healing, all to help you help yourself be your best self. So cross your hands on your heart, take a deep breath, breathe in all that healthy energy, get yourself grounded and balanced after this excellent hour with my special guest in connection to Fallon, and we will see you next week. Thank you for joining us. Take care.